This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
I don't give a shit. I don't care.
We get that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic of podcasting.
I mean, you don't
have
to Google it. I'm just saying, just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm going to shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. Let's go old school. Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. If you're finding us for the first time, welcome. I don't know why it's now seven episodes into WandaVision, but welcome. My name's Clay. I'm one of the dads. My co-host, Corey, is on the other end of the mic. Say hi to everybody, bud.
Hey, people.
You're like, I can't do this.
I was like,
we've been doing this shit for too long.
Wait, what? You referenced me? Now I'm supposed to speak? What?
Are we saying our real names? What's happening here? Yeah, right. Wait, are we breaking the fourth wall? What's going on? That's a horrible joke. Horrible joke. That's not even good.
But I'm a dad.
It's like watching the letterbox and seeing, are we in the full screen or are we just letterbox?
You know what's so funny is like they're smooth transitions. So like I don't notice it, but like I can see like it is enough to know when you're not in Wanda's world. But like every time you're like, oh, did you see the letterboxes? I was like, no, you know, I didn't see them. Like, yeah.
Look, to be completely honest and to everyone out there listening, I didn't catch it before either. It was like, because the first few episodes we were in 4x3, so it's like, duh, of course it's cool because it's in 4x3. And then when they finally introduced Sword, we got an entire episode almost, I think, of all the Sword goings on. So you didn't really notice it. And then like, I didn't get it until it was pointed out to me, like, you know, because we were always switching back and forth. And I was like, oh, cool. They're just doing like an aspect ratio for, you know, the bigger, like, you know, nowadays shots type stuff. But then this episode, especially, it was very important because it was showing you where Wanda's either world and or her control stopped and where it was someone else's control. And that was revealed to us in the basement because she went in the basement. Okay. But then she turned down like the spooky side and then it was letterbox and we're like, oh, she ain't in control now. Where is she? What is going on in this location?
Yeah, I really thought she had a little bit, like, I know this is going to sound really dumb, but I really thought she had a little bit further to walk than she did, because it looked like we were about to walk into some, like, dope-ass labyrinth, but it was like, nah, homie, stone wall, hook a left, door's right there. And I was like, oh, because homegirl popped in and, like, locked it all up, you know, right at the end of the episode, like, it was nothing, and I was like, so we just go down the stairs, and then, like, one left, and then literally what looks like you're about to enter a maze is like, haha, psych, it's just a door right around the corner. I was expecting her to like make it into a room, but like have that scene where it's like they're coming around another path so you know they've been walking for a little while, right? Mm-hmm. But it was just like doop doop doop. I was like, well, that happened really fast. I was anticipating a little bit more with that.
Right. It was like, no, it's not gonna be that creepy. We're just gonna open up into the room of creepiness, which has so,
I mean, even then, that really wasn't, like, that creepy. Yeah. Like, really? I mean, if anybody's known anybody that's been, like, a really big plant person, like, it would have been, like, walking into one of their houses. Only, right. You know, it just was, like, I don't know. It's almost too weird. Like, I get it, they're witches, but I want to know what room they're in. Because I don't think it's just, like, this is where I hang out. Like, there's got to be a little bit more to it. You know, kind of thing. Because if she's just like, oh, this is my basement and this is the decor, I will be like, God, are you kidding me? This is just down here.
I hope there's some sort of, I hope, especially because of the letterbox shift, that it's some sort of like, it needs to be explained. Is it a portal? Is she actually not in the basement of that house? Is she now somewhere else? Just
well, yeah,
for
like,
a hot
I don't
second?
Even know if she's like technically like quote unquote moved locations, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, like I want it to be one of those things where you get the key and then you open it and you're like, ah, yes, I used the key to the room of 1,000 doors, right? And then you're like, cool, I'm going this way. Like I want it to be something like that. Like that ends up being what gets broken kind of to like unlock the universal world a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like I want that room now to be like, well, if we go this way, we're in like quote unquote Fox world. And if we go this way, you get Kelsey Grammer Beast, right? Or whatever, you know, and it's just a bunch of different things that are kind of like that. In theory, that could be that, right? We don't know that specifically, but I really want that room now because it looked cool as shit to be something important and not just like, this is where witches have tea, yo.
So now that you mentioned it about where certain, you know, are we going to go into Fox World? Are we going to go into, you know, Fox X-Men? I know what you're talking about. That we see, so when Agatha Harkness, which honestly, I hope this, A, isn't the big reveal because everyone's kind of already figured it out way long time ago. It was kind of like, well, she's kind of got this brooch on all the time and she's kind of always in the right spot. And literally her name is Agnes, which is just take out the middle of Agatha Harkness and you're going to get there. So the fact that she was controlling Pietro, the Fox X-Men Quicksilver, do we think that she, because she like during the TV show, like broke the fourth wall to us, like, you know, looking at the camera and winking at us, knowing that we're like, quote unquote, knowing that we're there. Like, do you think she just like pulled that Peter? Like, was it like a almost like Marvel, you know, MCU was like, we're going to bring this guy in because we have him and it's cool. But actually, Agnes just broke our fourth wall and pulled this dude from our reality to put in place. So us all freak. I mean, almost like it's like the biggest troll of all. Does that make sense? Did I explain that horribly?
You may have lost me a little bit.
So she pulled the idea and the Peter, the Pietro, she pulled him from our, as in yours and mine, all the fans, Fox Cinematic Universe. And it's kind of like
she's saying, hey, I watched your movies too. I pulled the guy, you know.
Just to fuck with you.
Yeah.
That's like a super deep MCU, like, gotcha review, got you everybody who watches this show and plays over every scene.
Yeah, to me that would be funny because at the end of her little intro, TV wise, where like it shows all the shit she was doing, you know, mm-hmm. She's like, and I killed the dog too. And I was just like, no one realizes how sinister like that is because of the way you're doing it and like the filming that it's in. But you remember that movie, what was it, Fear with Mark Wahlberg?
I know of it. I'm not sure I can say I've seen it. Sorry.
Okay. But there's... Okay, so, like, when he goes all bonkers and decides to, like, murder everybody in the family for unbeknownst reasons to this day, like, the first thing they do... So, like, there's this all souped-up house, and it's, like, you know, lights on the outside, keep it dark on the inside, shit, you know, like, dad built this thing right, you know, kind of thing. They kill the German Shepherd and, like, sawed off his head and shoved it through the doggy door. And like everyone kind of just skips over that moment. They're like, oh, they killed the dog because they remember the roller coaster scene and it's hot ass Mark Wahlberg. But it's like the man cut a dog's head off because he got mad that he was like found out for cheating. And four other dudes were like, yeah, I'm going to help you saw that dog's head off. Like it's so disturbing when you go back and think about that movie.
Right.
Like, to me, when she did that, I was like, we're going to get a bad dude. Like, she's going to do some, like, one of those things where, like, people will go, I would kill someone to save my family, right? At the same time, but then you're, like, looking at it from the other side of the glass, and it's like, but I think she kind of did that for fun, you know?
So good. So you still think that she's, I don't think she's the big bad either, right? You don't think that she's it, correct?
I think she is the puppeteer in this world. I think she's
working for someone.
I don't think she's working for anyone, no. But I also don't think she's the big bad. I don't think she is. I think whatever now that we've met that room, I think her and Hark or Agatha are going to have whatever conversation. And it's kind of like that point where they're both kind of the same. And she's like, ooh, maybe I can get her over to my side. But then you have homegirl over there who's basically like, nah, remember, we got to save all these people. Don't do that. Right. And it'll be a battle for that. But I don't. But I think that's just because she wants her power. But I don't think she is the... If we're still talking about who was the big reveal for scariness, I don't think it's her.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm with you there. I do think that... I agree, yes. She is the person who is manipulating Wanda to control this world, and the amount of effort it takes as we've seen in past episodes is taking a toll on Wanda, and it's Agatha's job to keep her focused on staying in this world, and the world has to exist for some reason. We're assuming because the boys were there and Agatha took them, and now their boys are like not around, that was probably her goal. And if, you know, I don't like referencing the comics because MCU loves to like take bits and pieces, but if the boys are a means to an end that Agatha is doing, she convinced Wanda that making this town would help her bring back Vision, but in turn she wanted to make sure that she pushed this whole kids idea so she could then have these kids, and then the kids are whatever are Agatha's end game too, to like get whatever she wants. So, you know, I'm hoping that we get that reveal this season as to, well, the whole point. I mean, the fact that the boys are gone, and the fact that, so since we're doing the review of this show backwards, the fact that when name blank when Monica shows up in Wanda's house and they have their little like fight real fast, she was getting through to her right before Agatha came up and was like, you know, you leave her alone, and took her away because she was trying to convince her, hey, you take your pain and you're going to have to live with it, and you're not going to be able to change it. And none of us are able to really do that in this world. And as soon as she was, I mean, if you watch Wanda's face, she was getting ready to be like, you know, you're right, what I'm doing is wrong. But Agatha grabbed her and took her away, therefore, hopefully, you know, keeping her in track or whatever control she has. I mean, we know that she has some sort of control because she used her little purple wiggly woos to get in Wanda's head and, you know, explain to her that she's behind all of it. That being said, I think the song and the delivery, like we're saying right now, you know, who's been messing up everything, you know, it's been Agatha all along. I don't think that she's responsible for everything. I think there still is a bigger reveal to come from this. Whatever she needs the boys for, which she's trying to resurrect somebody or bring somebody through or open up doors to different worlds.
You don't think it's just because it's like she's a witch and like one of the quote unquote like stereotypical things of witches is, you know, snatching babies.
Right.
You know, and it's either baking them, eating them, but it's always for like restorative youth or regaining power. You know, it's got to come from the youth. But what would be more souped up than two super kids?
True. And
you know, kind of thing.
That would be and I think you're right there. If they're only going as far as Agatha for this series, for this season at least, that would be what she's using the boys for, is some sort of thing for her. Yeah, in typical witch fashion. Because I think in the comic books, Agatha is hundreds of years old and possibly has, you know, consumed life forces to stay, you know, stay alive for that long. In fact, she mentions that her and, because she keeps, the only thing is she keeps referencing Ralph. And I feel like that whoever this Ralph is more than likely who she's working for, or working with, or trying to bring back, or trying to bring through, or whatever. I know that when we were watching the show earlier, I messed you up because I was like, does she even wear a wedding ring? And then I lost you for like five minutes in plot.
Yeah, you triggered just a domino effect of like rabbit holes. I was like, this son of a bitch, man. I was like, you can't be doing stuff like that. Now I'm all like trying to recollect over here.
Hey, watch the letterboxing. Hey, watch for a wedding ring. Like, is there actually, you know?
Yeah, it was fun when your wife and I went out the other day and we just bantered back and forth how you watch TV and how we want to murder you at the same time.
That's how you do it. You know, you gotta get something else out of it. You gotta have a little more than just watching it.
Right.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Let's talk about, since we brought her up, let's talk about Monica Rambeau and how apparently once you get superhero powers, anytime you fall or trip, you automatically land in your patented superhero landing stance, which is awesome.
Yeah, she got the first. Well, it was cool because it was like, now that I go back and look at it, you get the one where she pulls herself together as she's getting like ripped apart by like going through Wanda's wall, right? And then as she like snaps back in, she kind of does the whole thing where like you think there's another step or you're like still trying to get through something and then all of a sudden all the force is just gone. And you're like, oh shit. Well, she like stumbled down, but she fell to like the superhero landing. And right. You're like, oh, you just do it all the time now, right? And then later when she gets lifted by Wanda like and thrown down to the ground, it's like it kicked on and she got the official. It was like, oh yeah, I know how my sparks. Powers work now.
Her
like
blue,
I'm back.
Her blue
I'm
sparks and shit. Yeah. Those were great. I'm excited to see if there's gonna be like a three-way fight where Wanda starts on Agnes's side fighting Monica, and then I'm getting, you know, switches sides in between, and it's like either like a three-way battle or like, you know, Wanda ends up switching sides and it's just a giant cat fight, just craziness happening and magic and shit going everywhere and whatever powers Monica's gonna have to figure out in a quick second because she's still hanging around and she kept all her clothes, she kept all of the clothes she brought in, so she's good when it comes to like being controlled by anything that Wanda's doing. She's able to not be, you know, nothing's changing her. Her mind's not being taken over. So she's good. Plus, she's got her Neo
didn't
vision.
Didn't she, like, run through in the suit, though? Like, didn't she still have the space suit on?
Oh, yeah, everything.
Like,
that's
when
what I'm
she
saying.
Hit that wall?
Nothing shifted when she went through. Like, nothing changed to, like, match
the
did
she
the
take
scene.
It off? I don't
she
remember her,
the
like,
space
dropping
off,
the
yeah.
jacket or, oh, okay.
Yep.
I was just saying, like, did that change or disintegrate like it was last time, but it... You know, she rejected it kind of thing, and it was, did the spacesuit turn into some kind of, like, dope-ass jacket on the ground or something?
Nope. Just a spacesuit. Or just, yeah, nothing happened to it. So that means that whatever control, we all know from the whole episode that Wanda's whole environment is now just, she can't, nothing is staying the same anymore. She is losing control quick.
I don't think that was more... I don't think a whole lot of that was really Wanda, quote-unquote, losing control. I think maybe she expanded her powers a little bit, but I think more a lot of that was really just because Agnes was revealing herself kind of thing. Like, I really don't think those were, quote-unquote, glitches in the system. I just think Agnes was really, at the end of the day, having fun with it because she knew she was going to reveal what the hell was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Agatha has a part, if not all, to play in the overall depression style mood that Wanda had from the opening of the episode.
Oh, I imagine she tapped into it or whatever and was like, oh, we can control all these people, and I got my beacon doing it, kind of
right.
thing.
And yeah. she rolled in, took the boys. She knew that's exactly what she was going to do, that this was a time, hey, I can get them away from her, and I can do whatever cooking or absorbing of them or imprisoning of them that she's going to do.
Yeah, whatever's going to happen with the poor child. And I like how, like, when he looked at, you know, Agnes, he was like, I like it here because it's quiet.
Your inside's quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like, you know, let me tell you something.
Kids make things so creepy. Like, you know, we've all had it where your child has looked at you in the most horrific way possible while still being a child and then muttered something to you that they shouldn't know, or it was the properly phrased way of how you would slightly indicate you're going to murder someone. And you're just like, I'm going to step out of this room, shut the door, let this just play out while I'm away.
Daddy, I don't want you to die tomorrow. Like, what do you know that I don't know?
Oh, yeah. What? Should I wake up? Do I get out of bed? Like, what? Why did you paralyze me? This is why I die, because you told me.
Right. Now I'm going to not leave the house, and something's going to fall into my room and kill me.
I'm going to have a heart attack for the paranoia you've now caused me.
Right? Yeah, that's what kids will do to you. It's all fun and games, so they threaten your life.
Right, yeah, whatever ghost has been lingering around the house that jumped in for a few minutes, and you're like, no, take it on out there, historical vampire guy, go on.
there's a meme floating around that says something to the effect of, there's almost a 0% chance that you'll be killed by your toddler. But what they're really saying is, there is in some scenario, there absolutely is an ability for your toddler to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
It's not completely 0%.
Yeah, which would be, like, crazy, man. Like, I'm thinking of a couple ways, right? Like, right off the bat is, like, kiddo's got just uncontrollable hands and muscle spasms. Like, you're doing one of those things where you're like, oh, I'm going to nibble on your fingers. And he just, like, goes full-on Hadouken, straight arms the middle of your throat, and it, like, gets stuck in there. And you're, like, trying to yank a baby out because its forearm is now stuck in your throat. And you're like, oh, shit, there is the 0.1% chance right there.
Right. Or your kid, you're late, you know, your kid does a friggin' triple gainer off the couch onto your neck, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Crushes your windpipe.
Teaching him some wrestling moves that I used to watch. Well, how's it going, Van Gogh? I'm here, too.
speaking of the kids, I just want to give, like, those, like, I like to bring this up in all the shows that we talk about is those two boys, I'm really digging. Like, they don't have a lot of lines, but their facial expressions are golden for all this stuff, especially the one with the shorter hair. Like, he has that look of, like, he has the what the fuck look down, like, perfectly. Like, the eyebrow up, and he's like, what is happening right now? Like, all the crazy shit going on. Like, both those kids are doing a fantastic job. I think it's a great casting choice for those boys. And
they're on for the amount of time that they're on the screen currently. Like, at no point do I want the camera to follow either one of those children unless an adult is with them either saving them or torturing them. Don't want any in the day of, like, either one of those children shown to me.
Yeah, not on their own. I don't need the episode that follows them through the dungeons
of Agatha's
house.
Yeah, unless it's like the episode where it's like you see them running and then all of a sudden, like, you watch puberty happen or something and you just, like, it's kind of comical. And then you have two adults basically in front of you and you're like, okay. That was
I'm
cool.
Good. Let's roll.
I can live with that. Yeah.
Right. For anybody who doesn't know and hasn't listened to us before, we have a horrendous, we do not like kids in TV because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense because they mess everything up and you're just not going to do anything. You have a baby on TV. Guess what? You're not going to do anything. You're not going to go on adventures because you have a baby.
Yeah. If your children can't, I don't know, fucking clean a goddamn chimney, like, then they shouldn't be in TV. You know, like, if that was, like, the requirement is there is, like, you need to be able to crawl down a shaft and scrub a brush and communicate. If you can do those three things, you can act.
You're
otherwise,
in my show.
Fucking wait.
let's see. So that's the boys. That's Agatha Wanda. We spend the day with her and her. You were saying that you enjoyed that. You feel like she had watched, like, seasons of Modern Family because she was even, like, she was doing the Claire Dunphy, like, perfectly, like, she was definitely modeling
like, their whole nod to Modern Family was really spot on. Like, even when Vision, like, breaks from character, like, why am I here talking to you? Like, oh my God, you know, and then flies away, which is a whole nother thing, right? Because
we'll get there.
That was happening. Well, so you had him interviewing with, like, the truck stopped on the side, but then you also had him in the truck talking,
right,
like, what was going
Darcy.
On so right. We're like, is this two different events, or is this man, like, split right now? Like, what is going on, right? Like, did Agatha come out there and was sitting, like, she shown earlier in the camera and was like, just look at what I'm doing, I stopped this man while this construction work we thought was going on, made him park his seat and talk to me, like.
Yeah, I love how none of that's explained. And honestly, TV shows like that, it's not explained. Like, usually it would end up being, like, a recorded later when they would, if it's actually like a live TV, or if it's a reality TV show, even though we know it's all fake, but if it was reality, they would they do those interviews like later, or they go into a room to do. It's weird. Like I just love. Yeah, he's literally the scene. He's in the van talking to Darcy, and then he's not in the van outside, parked with everything set up, sitting in a chair. It's great that they don't even try to explain it. But like when he decides to leave, he leaves that little set, but then also flies out of the van.
The car, yeah. So it's like, did he just? Even though he's been unlocking people, it's like, is he still fully unlocked? Yeah, that part, like, when he flew out of the top of the damn truck, I was like, that's going to bother my brain real bad. Like, real bad, because he left that thing at the same time and then flew out at the same time. I was like, one's going to hurt.
that being said, I didn't realize that I wanted to watch a Darcy Vision television show, but I kind of fucking do now. Just a little bit. Like, I just, like, their interactions were just fun to watch. Like, I was really enjoying.
Yeah, one of the episodes needs to be where it's like the typical trope of somebody from something is going somewhere, so they gotta dress up or they gotta be in the part, right? And I want them to like have to navigate to whatever they need to get to, like being the bits of, you know, escape artist and whatever. What was he? The knife guy?
He was one of the clowns. I think they called him one of the clowns.
Oh yeah, you're already in makeup. Yeah, that's right. You know, like one of their bits through, and then every time the camera like pans into just them two, it's like them both breaking character and they're like remarks back and forth to each other. That would be, I think that would be a fun episode. Especially right. If it's just her dropping bombs to him left and right of like how he died and like why he was created and all this other shit, you know?
Yeah, the whole conversation of like of her summing up how he died was hilarious considering the content. Considering what story she was telling, it was great.
It's amazing Vision has not grown up with more issues.
Right. Oh man. So something that I just want to bring up because I don't see anybody talking about it. And we kind of know that Monica's, we know that she definitely has her powers now, but even before she went through again, when they got her in that vehicle, that top door, the way that she got in didn't act like it was able to be removed easily. I mean, they said it's a moon thing. Why would you ever make that hatch like the hinge is removable? So when she goes to get out of that thing, not only does she get it open, she shoves it and it literally flies off of the vehicle. So like she's got some super strength already that we, so at least one of her powers is that plus whatever the blue spark stuff is.
Yeah, I mean, she's gonna, let's face it, dude, there's no superhero person out there unless they've already put them in a wheelchair or like made their brain like the one giant focus of them. Right, like
it doesn't none have of super
them,
strength.
None of them don't have super strength. Like Hawkeye is like the only dude, and that's just because he's a normal guy who happens to be an exceptional with a bow somehow. Like, you know, it's just
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I want to see like, I do want to see like what her jazz is all about. Right, like right. We get it that she gets to see the world or has enough intuition now with these superpowers to kind of see some stuff, but like what happens when she goes full Saiyan? Does her hair change? Is it only her eyeballs? Does she just get like a cool eyeball change and like they put a super suit on her? Like I want it, like I feel like she gets amped up to something, and like the blue eyeballs is just the beginning. Like she might be a blue translucent body like with flaming fucking hair for all we know or whatever. I mean, right at this point
in the comic book, she could turn into, she's really bright yellow and she could be bright blue for this thing, but it's just pure energy, just in the shape of a body.
Yeah, so I'm hoping, like that's what I want to see. Like, I want to see, like, that transformation, you know?
Right.
Like, oh!
Well, and I feel like that she, because I was thinking back, I'm like, okay, so at that point she was super stressed and whatever is inherently happening to her and changing in her physiologically, she was able to rip that door off as she was getting out because she was like, I'm out or I'm dead type thing. Mm-hmm. So, but literally 12 hours before when it was nighttime and they fought off the guards, they were escorting them off the property. Like we were hours before. So something had, because something has shifted between, or well, something was, has continued well, remember, to become more enhanced.
Yeah. Remember how they were, you know, they were like, dude, it's rewriting you. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think it was that last run through the wall that was like all of us hope when you blow on the old cartridge, you're like, please work. You know, it just they don't ever give you any rhyme or reason as to why, like, something happened. So there it was. She ran through the wall three times and three times the fucking magic charm, and boom, you're now full-blown mutant.
All I'm saying is that she didn't punch a hole through a guy's face, so her powers were increasing as the rewriting is happening, to that she already had pretty much super strength, or she did by the time she got in the vehicle, and then she finished off or even further quickened her mutation to when she went through the wall. But yeah, so I wonder if she's even done now, or if that's still going to continue to grow. And then, like you said, we get a big boss fight. She amps that shit up again, and then we get she goes ape shit and just
honestly nuts. I wouldn't be surprised if like Agatha and her are like kind of the quote-unquote biggest fight this season, but that's only because they're also like showing you the even badder bad guy that's like not just trying to use Wanda. It's like, nah, I'm here to do bad shit. This is what I do. You know?
Right. Yeah. I hope there's a huge fight scene next episode or the one after, if it's the next episode, because this is the seven episodes in, if you didn't hang on through the initial credits, you didn't catch the fact that there was a mid credit scene. But we know that Monica shows up she goes over to Agnes's house, 'cause they just left her there. She walks over there like across the street and starts snooping around and opens up the cellar doors and sees the blue, or not the blue, the purple vines and everything that are in Agatha's basement. And then she gets snuck up on by Pietro, you know, Evan Peters. What did he
say? Snooper's gonna snoop?
Snooper's gonna snoop. I know, and he, I'm assuming, you know, kidnaps her or takes her back, takes her down as well or whatever. She doesn't have time to react and, you know, like you said, super saiyan out and, you know, kill everybody. So I'm assuming he takes her down, or she lets herself be taken because he's going to take her to where Wanda is, because, you know, she's going to get her back. She got to break her out of this spell. And the only way to do that is to whoop Agatha's ass. And that's be great.
She is 100% like the key now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely, I don't know what you put it like, end all be all kind of thing, like,
and definitely the first mutation, the first mutant. She could be the MCU's first mutant, since we do know that, you know, that they at some point are going to bring the mutants in, whether it's this season or one of the other movies coming down the road, whether it's multiverse, things like that. We still have a big reveal. We still have who Paul Bettany said is an actor or actress that he's wanted to work with his entire career. We know there is some sort of cameo by somebody, and we know that it's not Evan Peters, because I believe there's an interview after his initial arrival that he reiterated that fact. So I don't think it's Evan Peters. So it's definitely, there's still another big surprise to come. And that's great. I mean,
that would be
two episodes left. So
we definitely don't want his shit.
Right,
like, you know what I'm saying, like, that would be kind of like a bust for like, this is our big dude.
And honestly, at 37 minutes, this episode was only 37 minutes.
I don't mind that though, like, that's acceptable time, like, that's 30 minutes for a show, like, that's cool. Like, I just don't understand why it's 22 and then 59 one time. It's like, what, why?
But it also tells us that whatever leak was like, oh, the last three episodes are an hour long. Well, they're not. At least this one wasn't. So we'll see what happens on this coming Friday if we get anything longer. But I'm hoping with some big fight scenes we can stretch the time out. We also have we saw Hayward for literally 30 seconds to a minute, and they have some sort of big attack. And Monica is talking about Hayward will nuke the city to get Vision. So he has some attack coming. So even if the girls have to fight Agatha and at least, you know, put her out of commission for a time, I doubt they'll kill her. They'll probably, you know, chase her off or beat her enough that they leave her alone. They're going to then have to join forces to keep Hayward from destroying that entire city to get Vision. And of course, Vision will also be able to help, and then it'll be a big happy love story. And Hayward will get killed in the middle of it because we don't like him anyways. And Monica will become the Sword director, and she'll team up with Nick Fury, and everything will be great. Just problem solved. That's how you write the rest of the season. Thanks for tuning in.
That's how you do it my way, damn it.
That's how you do it my way. And you put shit out there, we always get shit wrong and never pick anything right. So Agatha Harkness was pretty easy. I don't even count that as a win because everybody was saying that shit.
Yeah, I feel like the first moment she popped on the stage with her brooch, everyone was like, oh, I know who you're going to be. Right. You know, like...
Agnes. Mm-hmm. Agatha Harkness. It's not real hard to put those two together. She didn't even try.
You don't say, right? Okay.
Right. So, any last final thoughts, or are we good with this episode?
I'm good with the episode.
Yep. It was very good. Good. I didn't feel like it was... I wasn't like... When it turned off, I was like, oh man, that was only 37 minutes. Like, they gave me perfect information, enough tease, a good reveal, and still like, okay, what's going to happen next? So we've got a few more episodes left. If you don't already follow us on Twitter or on our Facebook site, you can find us at Two Dads Review anywhere we can think of for social media. So like the top three or four things, because we don't. We do have a TikTok, though, that I put a thing out letting everybody know when a new episode comes out. So there's that thing, too, if you want to go there. But thank you all for listening, and we will catch y'all back here next week for our review of episode 8.
Take care.